Okay, today I thought we'd talk about child custody determinations in halacha. The Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis seems to indicate that a daughter always belongs with her mother. The Gemara has, share a screen here. I think I emailed you the Mar Makamos, but let's put it up here. The Gemara has Amr Chista also Maris Bas Eitzel Ima, that the normal situation, the context of the Gemara is a mother who is widowed, and the question is where the daughter belongs. Amr Chista also Maris Bas Eitzel Ima, Mimai de Magdolaskin, and de Magtanaskin, Amisha Maitashaya, Detanya Misha Maitvinia Ben Katan Liimo, Yorshe Av, Amr Yehe Gadal Etzleno, Imo Maris E Bini Gadal Etzle, Manichano So Eitzel Imo. So as far as the initial name of Chista, Bas Eitzel Ima, most Rishonim understand that that is an across-the-board statement, not only in the context of the Gemara here that is discussing an almana, but in the context of a grusha as well, that the presumption is the natural place for a mother to be, a daughter to be raised, is with her mother. The Rosh quotes an alternative position that the Gemara here is only in the context of an almana and not a grusha, and the issue is only where the mother is. The question is whether the daughter should stay with the father's relative after the father passed away, but isn't necessarily indicative of what the din would be by grusha. But that's a minority opinion, and most assume that the Gemara here is talking across the board that a daughter belongs with the mother. Now, what about a son? So that is not as explicit. The mashmos of the Gemara in Ksubas Samachei Beis, and this we'll see in a moment, is the Shita Sarambam, is that when it comes to a son, up to age six, the son belongs with the mother, and after age six, the son belongs with the father. Lashon Rambam in Perek Kaf Aleph Isha Salacha Yitzayin. Grusha ein la mizonos, afa pishi manikas bina, aval nosin la yeser oschara dvarim shakatan sarach lahen miksus umachal umashka v'sicha v'chayotzei. So even in a situation where a divorcee is not entitled to mizonos, but if there is a son who is living with the mother, the father has to provide for the mizonos of the son. Shalmu chadasha v'gamlaso imratzas imbegereshes shi'eh ben etzla ein mafrishin osamim mena ad shi'eh ben sheish shana gemura. So if the woman is post-nursing and wants to retain custody of the son, you can't contest that until the son is 6 years old. Lima. But you can force the father to support the son up to age six and pay the mizonos. V'achar sheish shana yish lav lomar imu etzli etein lamizonos. And after age six, the father has the right to condition the mizonos on custody of the son. So you can say he'll only provide mizonos if he has custody of the son. If the mother insists on continued custody, then the father need not provide mizonos. And then the Rambam says, as far as the daughter, what we just saw, Babas Eitzel Ima La'olma Filul Archashesh. Fine. That's machlokas among the Nosei Kelim. Does the Rambam here just mean that the father has the upper hand as far as withholding mizonos if the son is age six, but he can't insist on custody if the mother is willing to forego the mizonos? Or does the Rambam hold that he has the right to insist on custody independent of mizonos? And this, the Rambam is quoted Lalach and Shulchan Aruch as follows, Simen Pei Bei, Siv Zayin, Shalmu Chadash V'Gamlaso, the post-nursing, Imrasa Megureshes, Shia Bena Etzla, Eim Arfishin Asamimena, Ad Shia Ben Sheishan and Gmuros, Ala Kovin Esav, V'Venosa L'Mazonis, V'Hu Eitzel Ima. V'Achar V'Av Shonib, Yesh Lav Lomar, that he's only going to pay Mazonos if the son lives with him. Okay, the Ravid has the following asag on the Rambam. Amravram, ein adas aveles Shanaka Fesav Lahafrid Beno Mimenu Achihe Ben Shesh Valohu Chayev Lachancho Torah Ben Arba Ben Chamesh Ve'echichanchenu V'hu Gadol Ben Anashim. So how could it be that the default presumption is that a son stays with the mother until age six? Doesn't the father have a chiyuv chinuch on the son from an earlier age? The Rambam says four or five. And how could the father properly exercise his chinuch obligation if the son is in the mother's custody? The Magen Mishnah here points out that the Ravid's assumption doesn't necessarily lead you to the Ravid's conclusion. As it could be that the father has a chiyuv chinuch on the son, but the fact that the mother has custody doesn't prevent the father from exercising his chinuch obligation. The father may have visitation rights, and those visitation rights would be sufficient to provide the time to give the necessary chinuch to the son. So the Rabbi's assumption, says the Magen Mishnah, may be correct, that there is a chiyuv chinuch, but that doesn't necessarily impact on the who has custody of a son under the age of six.
How is there a chinuch obligation at before age six?
There's a chinuch obligation at any age, at any stage where there is a certain level of understanding. The Gemara, the end of Lulav HaGazal, right? That when he can start to talk, teach him Torah, Tzivah, Lanu, Moshe, and there are certain developmental stages that correspond to chinuch for certain mitzvahs, right? When kid can be known to lulav, when a kid can eat matzah, etc. So there are different stages of chinuch, but there are certain elements of chinuch that exist even at a younger age. Okay. Nevertheless, the fact that there seems to be this firm characterization that Abbas Eitzel Aim L'Olam and the son, age of six, may be the turning point. But many Rishonim understand that these formulations are simply reflective of what's considered to be in the best interest of the child. And in a given situation where the best interests are deemed to be otherwise, then halacha would give recognition to what those best interests are, independent of any formal formula that the Gemara has. So, for example, Chuvas Rima Gash, Simon Ayin Aleph, was asked the following shaila. Reuven girish his ishto v'hayalo mimena bas arba shanim. So Reuven divorced his wife and they had a 4-year-old daughter. V'halach li'ir acheres, and Reuven went to another town. Then it's Akish Shams man, and he spent a long time there. V'iniach his bito below mizonos, and he left his daughter without any financial support. V'zonos haleya ima kol yimei hayoso sham, and as long as Reuven was away, the mother provided all the support mizonos necessary. And then the father appeared one day and he wanted to take the daughter back with him. Leah says no, for various reasons. That you never supported her till now. So maybe you won't be able to support her properly. And my daughter doesn't want to leave. So I'm prepared to support her until she gets married. What is the din? So the Magen Mishnah, the Rima Gash writes, "Mikol makom lahoros halacha lemaisa b'chol kayotzi b'nidon zeh b'pratus im ye'are nira lelechas b'ikvas ha'ga'onim zal in iskarim u'b'kabalasam u'lahamshich achar svarasam u'bo nifzok hadin v'nidon kishe yis'amit itzlein ito eles habas b'zel yos she'im al kolpanim yoser v'shamarta me'av. So the fact that the mother is able to give proper instruction to a daughter with everything she needs to know. She's able to train her in sewing, weaving, and in keeping a house clean. That's not within the ability and the nature of a father to be able to teach. So the reason that, says Rabbi Magash, the reason a daughter is better off with the mother is because the mother is more capable of teaching her derech hanashim u'minhagam. And then he adds that the fact that this father was a world traveler and wasn't stable in terms of his location is also not in the best interest of the child, that he would travel a lot and that wouldn't be conducive to proper parenting. Similar point in Tshuva Sarashba, Chelek Zayin Simid Lamed Ches, that the Rashba writes that normally speaking, daughters belong with the mother because the mother teaches Derech Hanashim, and normally speaking, sons belong with the father because the father teaches them Torah, but the Beis Din still needs to make independent determinations in every case if that default is in the best interest of the child. There is a Chuvas Maran Padua, Simen Nun Gimel, which is the basis of the Ramah, which we'll see in a moment. The Maran Padua has the following. Right, the line of the Rashi that we just read in Chelek Zayin Shuvas HaMiyuchasos, Simen Lamed Ches, was La'olam Tzarech L'dakdei B'chlal L'dvarim Elu, Achar Ma She'yira B'einai Beis Din, B'chol Makom U'Makom, She'yesh B'yoser Tikun L'Yisomen. That ultimately, even though there's certain principles articulated in Chazal and Rishonim, but ultimately every determination has to be made by the Beis Din dealing with it based on the particulars of the case and what's considered to be in the best interest of the children. So Tshuvas Maran Padua, Simen Nun Gimel. The Shaila was, Alshenitz Atzma Lodunim Eishes Aviv Zal. So the father passed away. Bavur Achiosav Shehu Mevakish the Gadlon Bebeso Litov Lahen. The Iman Mevakeshes the Gadlon Etzla. So the question was, does the mother get to raise the children, or do the relatives of the deceased father get to raise the children? The Yotana Cheres Beneim Sheechad Mevakish Lodunim Bnei Mevorim. The question is, what Beis Din is the Beis Din of record? So he writes, Bikara Didina, Reisi Sheidu Allah Beis Din Rabba Mi Bologna, Hayos Tov Lysomim Lisgadal Beis Achia, Ki Asu Nixon Hu, Rabbi Mishar Suhu, Belechem Rabba Beiso. So the Beis Din that first dealt with this case said it better for the Yisomim to be raised with the father's relatives because they're rich and they have servants and they have plenty of food. The Nashim Hagunos Ito, and there are women in the house that can help care for them. And the daughters will be treated like royalty. Bukulo Amer Kavot, Ubebeis Iman Tiena Shefelos. L'shares la'achareha, and in the mother's house, they're going to have to do all the hard work. Ve'ein misham shem, they know it's going to help them. V'min anachon sh'ola sima ve'ein yorda sima, just like the din is that by a woman, that a husband is obligated to provide the woman with the higher standard of living that she's used to. Here too, he should provide the yisomim with a better standard of living. Kilatovas habas, kavanos rabaseinu ba'amram perkanos habas eitz la'eim, chei mashmi kol mefarshim sham im kain. Even though it's true that the default presumption is Abbas Eitzel Eim, that's simply reflective of the presumed best interest. But if Beis Din determines that in a particular case the best interest is being with the father's relatives in the case of his Nidon, then that's what the din is going to be. And that's what the Rama writes back in Simon Pei Beis. Simon Pei Beis of Zion. The Dafka Shanir Lebezdin Shatova Lebaslios Imima. So the fact that the daughter goes to the mother, that's only Bezdin determines that that's in her best interest. Avlam Nir Lehem Shatova Yosalation Besavia. But if they think that it's better in a particular case to be with the father's relatives or the father, then the mother can't protest if that is the determination of Bezdin. Okay, so that's based on this Maran Padua, that we go with the best interests. And as the Chalkas Mechokek comments in that Ramah, Bishbul says something similar, Chalkas Mechokek in Sifkatan Yud, Yechol Alako Shetia Ima, Hama'ayim Veshuba Yerah, Sherav Lo Hichlit Adin L'maisa. Excuse me, that if you look in the Maran Padua, he didn't say explicitly what the bottom line was, Rak, but just that you don't assume automatically that it goes to the mother. A bezdin has the prerogative, the right to change the determination. And we only say when all things are equal. But if there are other factors that come into the mix, so then bezdin can make such a determination. So the default determination, the Chalkas Mechokek says, the default presumption is that the daughter goes to the mother, but if there are other factors at play and Bezdin decides that in this particular situation it's better for the daughter to be with the father, then that's within the prerogative of Bezdin to make such a determination. Rav Sturmbach points out, Chubas van Hagos, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tafshin Pei Gimel, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tafshin Pei Gimel, that it's true that in earlier times, the default position was that a son should be with a father because the father was responsible for the chinuch of his children. And it was much easier to facilitate that chinuch if the father would have custody. But nowadays, where most chinuch is done in educational institutions, not at the home, and you send your kid to yeshiva, so it could just as well be that having the child with the mother would affect the same benefit for the son, if the son's able to go to a proper yeshiva. And therefore, the child's best interest should be evaluated on its merits without necessarily being kafuf to putting the son with the father just because of the chinuch piece, because you know, chinuch could be accomplished otherwise in today's day and age. Okay. In one of the Piskei Din Rabbanim, one of the earlier volumes, the Batei Din Rabbanim used to publish, I think annually, a collection of Piskei Din. And then the last 10-15 years, it went digital, so they don't publish a volume anymore, but they publicize various Piskei Din as they come out, and then they're available on the website. One of the earlier volumes of the Piskei Din Rabbanim, Volume 2, this wasn't in Piskei Din Rabbanim, this is in Osef Piskei Din, which is a similar volume. So in Osef Piskei Din, Volume 2, the Tshuva beginning on page 6, back, this is a pre-state, 1946, even in the mandate period, there was the structure of Batei Din that exists in Israel now, with a Beit Din Agadol, a court of appeals, if you will, that has the ability to overturn certain decisions of the regional Batei Din. That structure existed in mandatory Palestine already. So this tshuva goes back to pre-state in 1946. So there, the Beit Din HaGadol, under the leadership of Rabbi Herzog, overturned a ruling of one of the local Batei Din. The local Beis Din that had originally ruled on a case had split custody of two daughters between the father and the mother. And the reasoning was that since both parents were blind and needed assistance, it decided that it would be in the best interest of the parents to only give them each one child to care for. And Rav Herzog ruled that when it comes to determinations of child custody, we don't look at the best interest of the parents, we look into the best interest of the children. And we don't really care what is in the best interest of the parents, and therefore that original psak was overturned because that was misguided in terms of the principles that they were working with. And that's expressed explicitly in the Tshuva Marshtam, Tshuvas Marshtam, Eben Ezer, Kuf Gimel, that there's no such thing in halacha, and the most agree to this, there's no such thing as parental rights to child custody. The only rights are the rights of the children and determining what's in the best interest of the children. It's not that the parent has a right to custody. We have to decide what is in the best interest of the children. The context of the Marashtam was that the fact that a daughter, by presumption, by default, belongs with the mother, doesn't necessarily give the mother blanket right to move away unconditionally in such a situation that would deprive the father or the father's relatives with the ability to visit the child. So it's true that the default position is that the daughter should be with the mother, but that doesn't allow the mother to cut off visitation with the father or the father's relatives, and doesn't give blanket license to move out of town or far away in such a way that would hamper a continued relationship with the other parent. There's a Tshuvas Ma'bit along those lines as well. Tshuvas Ma'bit Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Samachay, which I think I sent you the Mar Mekamos, that in that situation he ruled that even though there was a case of an almana, so the almana had custody of the children, sons in that case. So the Ma'bit ruled that the almana wasn't allowed to move away because doing so would prevent the deceased father's father from properly educating the children, meaning the deceased father's father, the grandfather, was in charge of the chinuch of the kids. The mother had custody. But the Ma'bit said the mother can just move away in such a way that's going to prevent the grandfather from seeing to the chinuch needs of the children. Rav Avadya, in a piece that was printed in Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, because he was on the same bezin in this case as Tzitz Eliezer. So Rav Avadya printed in Tzitz Eliezer, Simen Tes Zayin, Simen Mem Dalid, Simen Tes Zayin, Simen Mem Dalid, says that even though the extreme of the Marashtam, or the Marashtam's position, is not necessarily muskan by everyone, but many achronim accept that that we always look at the best interests of the children exclusively, and not at any parental right per se. Rav Yashiv does have a qualification of the Marashtam. Rav Yashiv printed in Kovetz Tshuvas Chelek Bei Simen Kuf Tesvav, Chelek Bei Simen Kuf Tesvav, says that the nidon of the Marashtam was where the mother wanted to move away to a place that was a few days' journey, and it was a dangerous journey on dangerous roads. But that doesn't mean to say that the mother can never move anywhere. If the mother wants to move to a place that's a couple of hours drive away, and our roads are not as dangerous as the medieval and early modern European roads, so if a mother wants to move a reasonable drive away, there's no reason to prevent that as long as there's still a possibility of proper visitation from the other parent or the other parent's family. Okay, so how does halacha view the possibility of awarding custody to a third party? So there is evidence that even in a situation where there's only one living parent or one competent parent, the Beis Din may decide in a particular case that it's in the best interest of the child to live with other relatives as opposed to the parent that is around. Tshuvas Radvaz, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Kuf Gimel. Tshuvas Radvaz, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Kuf Gimel. Let's see if we have that here. Yeah. Sha'alta mimeni, B'Reuven Shemesa Ishto, V'nichalo Ben Katan Yonek Chola. So Reuven died, and his widow is left with a sickly child, v'hu etzel eim imo, and the child is being cared for by the mother's mother. I'm sorry. So Reuven was widowed. The mother passed away. And the mother's mother is caring for this sickly child. Ratza Reuven lakachas oso. Reuven wanted to take the child back himself. V'hu lo nasa isha, but he's not married. He's still widowed. V'hu ani, and he's poor. U'bizman sheyotze l'chutz, and sometimes he travels. Maniachas ben etzel hashcheinim. So he would just leave the kid with the neighbors. And tov sheyamar ben etzel eim imo, o etzel aviv. So who gets the child? The father or the mother's mother? Tshuva, hadavar barur shaben etzel imo amru velo etzel eim imo. So it's true that the ikur din that Chazal speak about is that the son goes to the mother, not to the mother's mother. Avalim ro dezin shetakanis havlad sheyamot etzel eim imo l'fishehi merachemes alav yosem echerim. But if Bezin determines that it's in the best interest of the child to be cared for by the grandmother because she's more compassionate, then manich moso etzel imo, then he give it to the grandmother. Ava bi sheyamar uvein tnuli bini. And even if Reuven says, it's my son, give me my son, let me do what I want. And if he dies, he dies. So Bezin doesn't let him do that. So definitely that's the case. If he would just leave the kid with the babysitter when he's going to work, Kasher Baba Sheila, as was discussed in this Shaila, even the father will quit his job, be a stay-at-home father. And this guy's crazy, because if he's going to take the son, he's going to end up killing him. So in this case, it's in the best interest of the child to be with another relative, with the grandmother, than with the father. So a lomi bai in this case, where there wasn't what was deemed to be a proper daycare option. But even if that wasn't the case, the Ritva says the best interests of the child are served by staying with the grandmother. And that's reflected in Tshuva Sarash as well. Chelik Simon Pei Beis, that the decision as to whether a daughter of a mother passed away should be with the father or the grandmother should be made by someone that knows the family dynamic and can assume and can judge what's considered in the best interest of the child. There's a tshuva in the Pisket Din Rabbanim, or Psak, in the Pisket Din Rabbanim, the first volume, beginning on page 65, which was a panel on the Bezdin HaGadol that included Rav Yashiv. And the question there was a custody dispute between a divorced mother and the father of the mentally unstable father. So a couple divorced, the husband was mentally unstable. And now there's a custody dispute between the mother and the father's father. No, everyone agreed that the father himself is incapable of caring for the children. But the father's father claimed that he deserves custody because he's better positioned to provide for the chinuch of the children. And the mother argued that if the father's father, the paternal grandfather, would have custody, so then inevitably the children would have more exposure to the father than would be healthy. So there, the Beis Din under Rav Yashiv ruled, first articulating the best interest principle in general, and in this case, the best interest of the child was the children was to stay with the mother as long as the mother would commit to sending the children to the same schools that they were attending before. But they said, in theory, if it was such a case that the paternal grandfather lived further away and could better provide for the chinuch needs of the children, and there was no concern of exposure to the mentally unstable father, so they maybe would have entertained more in that case, awarding the children to the grandfather. A more recent case, 2003 from the Beis Din in Haifa. So there was a divorced couple. Neither parent was deemed fit to care for the children, and the Beis Din needed to decide between giving custody to the mother's sister or the father's mother. the mother's sister versus the father's mother. So they chose the mother's sister because the mother's sister only had a part-time job and had no children of her own, as opposed to the father's mother that worked full-time and had five of her own children. So the Beth Din decided that here we're not talking about either parent being in the picture, but the family that could devote more time and care to the children is the more suitable candidate for custody. Okay. To what extent does the Beth Din take into consideration the religious lives of parents or caregivers as part of these determinations of custody and best interests of the children? So Tshuvas HaRavaz, Chelek Aleph, Simen Reish Samach Gimel. Tshuvas HaRavaz, Chelek Aleph, Reish Samach Gimel was asked about a seven-year-old girl who was living with her mother after her parents had divorced. Parents divorced, seven-year-old girl, mother has custody. And the father discovers that his ex-wife gave birth to a child out of wedlock. So the mother, his ex-wife, is not living a proper lifestyle. So the father asks that he be given sole custody so that the mother would not be negatively influenced by the iniquities of the mother. So the Rizvazir, Chelagala Simon Rei Sama Gimel, Paskins in favor of the father, that the default presumption of the Gemara of Chazal that the daughter belongs to the mother doesn't apply in this case, even if the daughter would say that she herself prefers to stay with the mother. And the Rizvaz goes as far as to say that even if there was no father in the picture, the Beis Din would in theory be authorized to remove the child from the mother's custody to the custody of some other relative or some other family so that the daughter would not be exposed to this kind of lifestyle of the mother. Similar to with Ravaz Chelek Aleph Simen Shin Samach, in a case where the mother, there's no evidence of having inappropriate relationships, but the mother allowed men into her house. And there also the Ravaz rule that the custody can be taken away from the mother in such a case. There was such a psak in Eretz Yisrael more recently, 2018 in Haifa, where the Beis Din took custody away from a mother who was living with another man out of wedlock, which was a violation of the divorce agreement as well. There was an earlier 1953 Piske Din Rabbanim, volume 1, beginning on page 55. So there, the Beis Din was a little more reluctant to remove a boy from the custody of the mother just because the mother was living with someone else out of wedlock. Tshuva Tzitz Eliezer, Simen Tesvav, Simen Nun, Simen Tesvav, Simen Nun, when he was on the Beis Din HaGadol, dealt with the following situation. There is a request that a 4 and 7 year old, or that 4 and 7 year old children be removed from the mother's custody, and the father demanded custody of the children because the mother was having an affair and was no longer living an observant lifestyle, no longer keeping Shabbos and Kashrus. So in that decision, 1977, that Tzitz Eliezer paskened, the Beis Din that he was on, paskened together or on advice from social workers as well, that there is appropriate to take custody away from the mother and give it to the father as the only way to properly ensure the religious education, the religious environment for the children. Rav Yashiv in a psak, Piske Din Rabbanim, volume 4, page 332, articulates a similar principle that when we look at best interests of the children, it's not only their physical best interests, but their spiritual best interests as well that need to come into the determination made by Beis Din. Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Zayin, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, Chelek Zayin, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel. The Shaila was, there is a divorced couple. Both parents were observant, but the mother moved from New York to LA, and the father was still in Brooklyn. And the father claimed that he should have custody of the 1.5-year-old son, because he'll be better positioned to provide for the chinuch of the son. And the Minchas Yitzchak is inclined in that case to award custody to the father, even though if the parents would be living in relative proximity, then the mother should get custody and the father would have visitation. But where visitation isn't practical, it's a choice between father and mother, that there the Minchas Yitzchak was inclined to award custody to the father to be able to provide for the chinuch of the child. One other psak, Piska Din Rabbanayim, volume 13, page 335, where the Beis Din included Rav Duchovsky, who was now emeritus, one of the senior Dayan of the Beis Din Agadah of the last generation, Rabbi Ezra Bar Shalom, the son-in-law of Rav Avadia. So there, they removed children from the custody of a mother who had a live-in boyfriend and stopped keeping mitzvahs. There are two interesting Piskei Din Rabbanayim in recent years made the point that when it comes to, back to what we put earlier from the Marashtam, that when we look at child custody, we're looking at the best interests of the children, not the best interests of the parents. So the two different recent Piskei Din Rabbanayim that affirmed that a father's own religious prerogatives should have no bearing on how to arrange visitation. So one case was from Petach Tikva 2019. The father petitioned in Beis Din to modify the visitation arrangement to facilitate his ability to daven with the minyan. The status quo agreement that was in place was that the father would pick up his four children from the mother on alternate Friday afternoons and bring them back to school on Sunday morning. So the father asked, could he bring them back to the mother on Motzei Shabbos as opposed to Sunday morning to school? Because if he were to bring them Sunday morning to school, then he'd miss Minyan on Sunday morning. So the Beis Din and Petach Tikva rejected his request, saying that to return the children late Motzei Shabbos would be disruptive to their schedule, and it would be disruptive to the mother, and that can't come on the cheshbon of the father's davening with the minyan. These are his parental obligations, and this is the best interest of the children to stay over with him Motzei Shabbos. Then he can't have tainas that he won't be able to daven with the minyan. Then there's another interesting case recently in the Beis Din Yerushalayim that a father was given visitation on alternate Yamim Tovim. So he petitioned that he should always get his children for Pesach, for the first day of Pesach, because he has a mitzvah, v'gadat l'bincha. So how can he not have the opportunity to fulfill his mitzvah? So there the psak was, various reasons, but the psak was that the father had no right to make this claim. One of the reasons being that the enhanced kiyum of Igarat El Mincha isn't more valuable than the mother's interest in having her children with her for Yontif. And the tshuva has a presentation as well, as to whether that's pasha that we got it to the bit was only the father and not the mother and not the grandfather. So it has an analysis of the particulars of the mitzvah we got it to the bincha as well. But the bottom line is that the best interests of the children and the competing interests of the parents take precedence over the particular need for a kima mitzvah on the part of the father. He can't just wave his children and claim that this is my ches shel mitzvah to be able to perform v'gada de l'bincha. Okay. Finally, To what extent do we take into consideration the preferences of children? So not really discussed so much in Rishonim, in the Tshuvas Maran Padua in Siman Nun Gimel, he does write that if a girl is old enough to reasonably indicate a preference, then that preference of the girl does have significance in potentially outweighing other default considerations. His nidon there was an 11-year-old girl who was orphaned from her father, who wanted to live with her older brothers as opposed to her mother. So there the Maran Padua gives weight to the consideration of the daughter, who is presumed old enough to make such requests intelligently. Tshuvas Radvaz may have a mashmasa. We also chelik aleph siman tuf kaf tes that a son's interest in staying with his mother may outweigh other determinations as well. In a recent psak from the Beit Din Hagadol from 2018, the parameters that they discuss is that when you're dealing with children who are early adolescents, so then we would take their preferences into consideration a lot more strongly than little children, like 4 or 5 year olds, where they may not have the same level of intelligence or competence to express that preference. There is a psak in the Pisca Din Rabbanayim from 1954, volume 1, beginning on page 158, that discusses if even in the context of visitation, if a child protests going to visit one of the parents, even the visitation with the non-custodial parent, so then that's significant, and you can't say that it's in the child's best interest to visit a parent when the child protests such visits. Although the Bate Din sometimes do express skepticism where a preference is made by children. You have to figure out whether that's their independent preference or they're somehow being guided by the other parent to use them against the first parent. So that's a determination that a Bezim have to make based on the particular case, how much credence to give the interests of children. Okay, I think we'll stop at that.